It's South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN and 91.5 WKWM. Hello, Ed Bell with you. Coming up later on the program, Charles Greenfield checks in with the new interim dean of the FIU School of Music, Dr. William Hipp, to find out about their exciting upcoming performance season. Chef Norman Van Aken delivers a word on food, and Jody Horn-Leschinski gives us her Broward County Arts Calendar. Now, contributor Judith Bishop speaks with South Florida's well-known and highly respected director and chief curator of Nova Southeastern University's Museum of Art, Fort Lauderdale.
The Nova Southeastern University Museum of Art in Fort Lauderdale is located on Las Olas Boulevard in the heart of that bustling city. In recent months, there have been big changes at the museum since Bonnie Clearwater took the helm as director and chief curator. She made her reputation in New York as a curator of the Mark Rothko collection and wrote extensively about Rothko. Here in South Florida, she ran MoCA, the Museum of Contemporary Art, for 18 years, raising the quality and profile of that institution. Now she's devoting her time, energy, and artistic vision to her new challenge in Fort Lauderdale. Bonnie Clearwater is our guest today on South Florida Arts Beat. Bonnie Clearwater, welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat. There's so much to talk about at NSU Museum of Art, Fort Lauderdale, but first we really have to ask what's going on at your old alma mater at MoCA, where a very bitter controversy seems headed for bitter litigation. At the heart of the question is, who owns the art there, the museum and the board, or the city of North Miami? What's your reaction to all this?
You know as much as I do.
Oh, you must know more than you read in the papers. Did you see the handwriting on the wall? Because the art world was stunned when you left MoCA. People were buzzing. They couldn't believe it. Didn't make sense. Now it makes sense.
Well, I was at MoCA for 18 years and got it to an incredible position. And really, leaving the museum was one of the hardest decisions of my life. And the museum, NSU Museum of Art in Fort Lauderdale, had been persistent in trying to woo me up to take over the museum. And they kept saying, you really need to look at what's happening here. And I did, and was particularly impressed now that it was part of Nova Southeastern University, and that there was incredible opportunity. And here was this incredible building by Edward Larrabee Barnes, the star architect of his time, we should say. Building opened in 1986. In fact, I was there at the opening. And it, you know, had gone through many different phases, and it really deserved to be put on an international stage. And there was the resources, and now with the university, the desire to really help this museum become all that it could be. The space, it has 83,000 square feet, close to 30,000 square feet of exhibition space, and a 255-seat auditorium, and its own studio art school, the AutoNation Academy of Art and Design. So when I really started looking at it, I said, you know, this is a really great opportunity. And I was originally trained as a medieval art historian. So I've been in contemporary for most of my career. And the idea that I would now be able to expand beyond contemporary while bringing the past into the present was a great challenge. And to give it an identity, to use the great collections that it has there, it has unique collections that really define it on its own plane, and nationally and internationally. So it was an incredible challenge, and it was something that when I really looked at it, I said, this is something that would really give me a great opportunity. And in less than a year, I think we have already accomplished a good deal of what we were set out to do.
Well, people say that when you run a museum, that there's a twofer. Excellent art, but it's also a hip happening place. And when you were at MoCA and you're using the same philosophy now in Fort Lauderdale, your openings, your fundraisers are all high profile social events. How do you see the connection between the two? Is it PR Or is it fundraising or a combination of
both? It's all a combination. It starts with having great programs. You can't promote something unless there really is something that is going to be solid. And especially now, drawing so many people from Miami and Palm Beach and elsewhere, we have to make it worth the drive. And with our recent opening of the Miami Generation Revisited, I can say we were visited by most of Miami at the opening. And it was a really great event, but it was all about the art. It was about revisiting a landmark exhibition that the Cuban Museum in Miami in 1983 organized of the first generation of Cuban exile artists. And it was really a moment to celebrate that this was really the first group to create a community of artists in South Florida. And that from them grew this incredible art scene that we are now benefiting from. So it drew heavily from the who's who of Miami, drew Fort Lauderdale, who everybody was so excited. It started with a panel discussion with the artists, standing room only, on a Saturday at 5:30 in July.
That is quite an accomplishment. Absolutely. You've got something else going on, too. The antithesis, you might say, of Latin art. It's something called research and development. Sounds very techno, very scientific.
Well, it's got research and development concerning belonging. And it's a very experimental thing to be doing in a museum where we've turned over our galleries to a number of South Florida artists to use our galleries as their studio. And we're calling it research and development because the Nova Southeastern University is a university known for research. And this is the idea that artists, just like scientists or historians or doctors, need time to do research and development for their practice. But these are a group of artists who also are activists. And they're dealing with the subject of homelessness in their research and how to apply this and express it through their art. So we've been able to put them together with a faculty from Nova Southeastern University, which has an incredible multidisciplinary program. And they particularly have programs in conflict and resolution that are dealing with these kinds of social issues. So it's been a very interesting cross-disciplinary event. Plus, the artists are working with various community organizations that are serving individuals who are going through periods of homelessness.
Very interesting, bringing art to the community and the community to art. You have a big, big calendar coming up in October on the 12th, I believe. You're featuring three prominent 20th century artists, and you're calling it Cafe Dolly. First of all, tell us about the title and also, of course, about the artists.
Well, the exhibition was organized by the W.J. Williamson Museum in Denmark. Now, the subtitle is Picabia Schnabel Williamson. Now, I've worked with Julian Schnabel on many occasions, including writing a book on him, and I had included him in the show I did on 80s painting. And he told me about the show a little over a year ago in which he was going to be with Picabia, the great early 20th century modernist, important pioneer of Dada art, and contemporary art. I said, oh, that sounds really interesting. I would like to show that. Then I find out that it's also with this obscure early 20th century Danish artist. And when I saw this work, I said, I've got to see this show. And I had to be in London to do some research, and I flew to Denmark for the day just to see it. And it was just mind-blowing that I had never heard of this artist before, but it turns out hardly anybody else.
This is Williamson.
Williamson. So the exhibition is coming to our museum. We'll be the only U.S. museum to show it. And it opens in October. The title actually came up was by the curators of the show, who were two artists, Danish artists, who saw this connection by these three artists who really had nothing to do with each other, but each was creating a unique vocabulary for their painting, which when you see them all together makes a lot of sense. And Cafe Dolly, sort of, they have so many different references to it, but one of them is to Dolly the sheep that was cloned. And this idea of replication and creating a hybrid these artists have all created a hybrid type of painting. So it's a funny title for a fascinating exhibition.
And there'll be a fascinating talk, I'm sure, because Julian Schnabel is coming to the museum, correct?
He sure is. He's been camping out in many cases. He loves our space. And yes, he's going to be giving a talk on October 12th.
Excellent. Lots more to talk about with Bonnie Clearwater. Stay with us on South Florida Arts Beat. We'll be back in a moment.
Welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat on 91.3 WLRN, South Florida's NPR news station, and 91.5 WKWM, NPR for the Florida Keys. Hello, Ed Bell with you. Later on the program, Chef Norman Van Aken gives us a word on food, and our arts calendar features Jody Horn-Leschinski, Assistant Director of the Broward Cultural Division. Now, we return to the conversation between our contributor Judith Bishop and her esteemed guest.
And I wish I were a camera. I could slice time like a knife, seeing stories in the faces and crystallizing life. I wish I were a camera. I wish it all.
We're back on South Florida Arts Beat with Bonnie Clearwater. She is the director and the chief curator at NSU Museum of Art, Fort Lauderdale. Bonnie, the fall is going to be a big, big deal at your museum. In November, the main focus will be on photography, the collection of prominent art collector Marty Margulies. What type of things has he collected over the decades?
Well, Marty Margulies is one of the top collectors in the world. And we're fortunate that he's here in Miami and has made his collection accessible to the public. Besides the great paintings and sculptures and installations that he has, he's been a dedicated collector of photography, and not just contemporary photography, but a whole range historically. But a particular focus in the collection are works dealing with the American experience, starting with Lewis Hind's photographs from the early 20th century that are really part of the progressive movement to document the situation with child labor in America. And what I noticed as I was going through the collection was how much it was about looking at these situations of poverty, of the urban centers being reduced to decay, the spreading of suburbia. And there became a narrative that I realized that was coming out of Marty Margulies himself, is to realize his connection with this American experience, that the idea of these photographs showed us what it meant to be human and how to be more of a humanist as a result of these photographs. So what I realized that there was two narratives going on in this exhibition. It was Marty Margulies creating a narrative out of all these images about America, shaping a particular story about the American experience, but at the same time, this collection shaped him as a person. As he became more and more involved with these images showing poverty, showing labor, showing the Farm Services Administration during the Dust Bowl, the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina, I realized that these images were having an impact on the collector himself, making him more involved with community and helping community, particularly the work that he's done in Overtown or with the shelter for women,
Lotus House. Yeah.
So I was interested in this double narrative about collector shaping the collection, but the collection shaping him as well. So that is going to come out in this exhibition and the accompanying catalog.
That's a fascinating look, not only at the history of America, but the history of a prominent collector as well. Another huge show coming up in February, which will be, of course, the height of the winter season in South Florida, the Mexican modernists Frida Kahlo and Diego Rivera. That sounds fantastic.
Well, it is an amazing exhibition, and it's a collection that I have had experience with before. The Frida Kahlo and Diego Rivera's are coming from the great Mexican collection of Jacques and Natasha Gilman, late collectors. But besides having this opportunity to bring these great works to South Florida, it's also giving us an opportunity to bring wider attention to a resource of our museum, the Stanley and Pearl Goodman Collection of Latin American Art. And in this case, their 20th century Mexican collection will be featured alongside these works from what is recognized as one of the greatest collections of Mexican modernism, the Gelman Collection. The Goodman Collection is part of a bequest to the museum and has been pledged to the museum. It's one of the top collections of Latin American art. So this exhibition is to bring awareness to the fact that the museum has this incredible resource. So juxtaposing the two collections will make this big statement. The book is going to be published by Rizzoli, so that also gives it great national and international recognition. But it's one of the collections that really is defining the museum. We have other collections as well that are unique. The Cobra Collection. We have the largest collection of Cobra, which is stands for Copenhagen, Brussels, and Amsterdam, the post-war avant-garde art movement. And we also have the William Glackens Collection, the largest collection of this early 20th century American modernists. And the show that we co-organized with the Parish Art Museum in New York and the Barnes Collection in Philadelphia is on view this fall at the Barnes Collection. So we have these very distinct areas, and it's really using our unique collections as a springboard to shape the exhibition program.
Several of these exhibitions sound like they will really document the 20th century from a social, political, and artistic perspective, but you're not neglecting the current century. There's some 21st century titans coming up as well. Tell us about Baldessari and some of the work that you're going to be showing of his.
Well, it's an exhibition called Aesthetic Decisions, and it's amazing to say, but this show is really over 20 years in the making. I had this idea when I was still in Los Angeles in the late 1980s. A photographer that I was very interested in, Judy Fiskin, did a series of photographs called Some Aesthetic Decisions. And it was really, you know, ideas that were current in LA at the time and have since spread globally. The idea of how are aesthetic decisions made? What are aesthetics? And John Baldessari was very instrumental in this kind of thinking, but it really does go back to Marcel Duchamp. And the exhibition will start with Duchamp's Ready Mades, which raises these questions, these philosophical questions. What is art? Where is the aesthetics? Who makes the judgment on what is an important work of art? So all of the artists in this exhibition explore the philosophy of aesthetics as the subject of their work. And there'll be a lot of works in there that might be a head scratcher as to, is this art or is it not, and why is it here? But that's exactly what the show's supposed to do.
Well, that's an entire other program. What is art? What isn't art? And why is it here? And why is it not here?
And who gets to say it's art?
Absolutely. Well, to some degree, you do, Bonnie Clearwater. Thank you so much for joining us on South Florida Arts Beat. For more information on the museum and the AutoNation Academy of Art and Design, log on to moafl.org or telephone 954-525-5500. For South Florida Arts Beat, this is Judith Bishop.
Judith Bishop is a television journalist who has covered breaking news, politics, and the arts for WABC and CNBC. Please keep your dial set right here to 91.3 WLRN and 91.5 WKWM. South Florida Arts Beat returns in just a moment.